The number one fear gripping the nation at the moment is the recession. It's the number one preoccupation or headline in the media today is about recession. And the number one thing that is upon this nation is the spirit of fear. Now, the evidence of unbelief is fear. The evidence of unbelief is fear, and the enemy, Satan, is on a mission to convince people that God's word does not work, that God's economy is false, that God's word will not come to pass. However, when you replace fear, the contaminant of faith, you will be a conqueror of the plan of the enemy over your life. When you replace fear with faith, faith will connect you to whatever you believe in from the Word of God. Reports of the recession in the media can cause a troubled mind. But the one thing that we know from the Word of God is that God's Word promises that His will is to prosper you, to be prosperous in God, not to fear, not to have a spirit of doubt and unbelief. They are all works of the flesh that work in a conspiracy to bring you into fear and unbelief. Amen? So we've got to make every effort to protect our mind from fear. We've got to take action to remain secure in the midst of recession and in a financial crisis. God wants us to take the faith to another level of demonstration and action. God says that, do you believe in the Word of God? Do you believe the Word of God can be actioned? Do you believe that not only do you practice the Word of God, but you action the Word of God? In other words, you put practicability or practical action or corresponding action to your faith. Faith without works is dead. Amen. So a corresponding action is something that corresponds with the statements you make or with the action you do that precipitates the manifestation. So faith without works is dead. Death has an allegiance to fear. So how can we literally recession-proof our life to overcoming fear? How can we overcome fear? We've first got to make the decision fear is not acceptable. Fear is not okay. Next, we have to resist fear. God did not give you fear. He gave you a sound mind and a sound body. We do not accept fear. We must resist it. We must reject it and repel it. When we tolerate fear, we endorse poverty, we legitimize poverty, and we contaminate our faith. Amen? Amen? Whatever you fear will come upon you. Whatever you fear, you will come into agreement with, and you are covenanted to that which you have come into agreement with. Whatever you fear will come upon your life. Do you know that we are partakers in God's kingdom and that we don't have to participate in a culture of fear? When we're in the kingdom of God, we are benefactors of kingdom prosperity, kingdom wealth. Therefore, our mind should not be in a world system or in a world's economy where fear is based. We can't base our fear primarily on what we see within the world system. We've got to see what is in the kingdom economy within the kingdom of God. Therefore, that gives growth, that gives stimulation to our spirits to see what God can release into the body of Christ. When we keep our minds focused on the kingdom, then our heart is based within kingdom, and therefore what we see by way of manifestation is what we can draw from the kingdom. What brings forth from the kingdom is prosperity. So we've got to keep our mind in the kingdom of God and not in the world. The world would want you to see something that exists as being terminal and being permanent. Let me tell you something, the things of the world will pass away. It is temporal. But God's kingdom is the kingdom which is long-lasting and enduring and will never pass away. His words will never pass away. Therefore, your prosperity is eternal. Your prosperity is lasting. Nothing in the world system can ever try to bring a deficit from God's economy. Your kingdom wealth is insured and stored up for you. We are partakers, not participators in the recession. We are partakers in God's kingdom. Philippians 4 verse 19 says that God supplies all my needs. Therefore, needs in this scripture is translated in Greek as demands or requests. So therefore, we make a request of God. We bring our request to God. We say, God, we need. You are my source. And when we replace God as the source with the world as the source, then we're going to get what we have within a world economy rather than a kingdom economy. We need God. We do not use the world as a garnering of the source that we need. We've got to look to God as being our primary source giver and not the world. Therefore, we are not partakers in the world, but in God's system of doing things, in God's kingdom of doing things. God's kingdom is God's way of doing things His way. When you start to look to the world, then you're looking to the way that the world does things rather than looking to God, who does things the way that He does within the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Your attitude has to be that you depend solely on God's word. It's just not looking at the word of God and seeing the word of God as something which is literally written on paper that does not have any practical experience or application to your own life. You've got to see the word acting on your behalf, the word actually participating and practically practicing in your own life. You've got to see it practically applied in your own life. Therefore, your attitude has to be that you depend on God's word, because He has that abundant supply for you at all times. So you've got to believe the promises from God's word, and rather than accept a governmental verdict on the economy and the downturn of the economic downturn, we have to see that God wants to bring a reversal to the downturn of a New Zealand economy and bring about a kingdom economy to replace it. You are the possessors of kingdom economy. There is wealth stored on the inside of you.
Amen.
There is prosperity stored on the inside of you. You are the possessor of kingdom wealth. Therefore, the gift that you can bring to this dying world, to this dying economy, is a practical application to what you believe and to where your belief systems are rooted in. And if you are established in a kingdom economy, then you have the solution to bring the country out of a recession. There is the solution locked up on the inside of you. You are kingdom material. You are kingdom citizens. Therefore, we should be literally supplying the answers and the solutions that bring the resolution to the country's ills and the country problems. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's wealth walking in this room. There's prosperity sitting in those seats. There's treasures, eternal treasures locked up on the inside of you. Come on, undo the buttons and shake the shoes of poverty off. It's time to let loose in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Have you ever looked at yourself as being a sitting gold mine, not dynamite? I said gold mine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's a gold mine invested in here of saints that are prosperous. Don't look to your bank account as being a measurement of whether you're prosperous or not. It's not whether you have $100 or a dollar in your bank. It's whether you've got $100 on the inside of you. And I tell you what, you've got 100 times that multiplied 10 times and 100 times over locked up on the inside of you. Come on, there's some alabaster boxes that have to be broken. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, I can hear some smashing of some alabaster box. I can hear some literal cracking of wood. I can hear the peeling back of the layers of the veneer over those alabaster boxes. Something's going to break out tonight, and it's going to be kingdom prosperity on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You've got to say, I refuse to fear. When circumstances indicate failure. Psalm 55 verse 16 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Hallelujah. We don't have to fear. Man will say you'll never prosper, but I have a covenanted statement in the Word of God that says I will prosper. I will prevail. I will overcome the odds. I will break through, and I will be a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That covenant statement is my license. That's my indemnity value. That's where I cash in my receipt. Because I know that when I cash in my receipt on my indemnity, I know that the value of it shall be returned to me 100 times over and over again. I have a covenant, a promise in the Word of God, which is my guarantee of my investment returning back a higher yield. Hallelujah. I don't need no statistical graph to prove to me that the Word of God is going to return to me an investment above what I invested in primarily at the beginning. I know that every time I walk in the Lord, I'm investing something again. I'm putting in a new investment. I'm building my interest. I'm building my investment. And my investment's coming to me not tomorrow, today. My investment is here. My investment is now. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is my banking system. When I need some money, I just call on the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You are covenanted to whatever you believe in. And if you believe on the Word of God, then you're going to make every determined effort to protect your mind from fear. Because fear will deprive you. Fear will withhold from you. Fear will bring you into poverty and into lack. So you've got to take action so you can remain secure in the midst of this recession, this financial crisis, and the situation or in this circumstance in your life. You've got to take faith from the platform of demonstration where you believe in to the next platform of action. You've got to see it manifest. Faith is not alive. Faith is dead without works. You've got to work faith. You've got to work it. It's like dough. You've got to start to knuckle it. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. Trust a woman. I mean, trust somebody to correct me. That's the baker in these people, isn't it? Hallelujah. You've got to need it. You've got to need it. You've got to work faith. Faith can't work for you until you work faith. You've got to work faith. It's no use looking at the word faith. Faith has no meaning singly on its own unless it's applied and given a job and a task or an assignment to do. You've got to commission your faith to complete the assignment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Faith is no good just on its own. It's got to have human cooperative effort behind it that gives it something to labor for and something to work towards. Amen. Hallelujah. Every time I'm believing something, I'm working my faith. When I start to move faith, I start to exercise my belief and my trust to see the manifestation come to fruition. You see, when I believe to receive, then I know I'm going to receive it because my faith has already brought it to me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, mighty, mighty God. Satan is doing everything he can to move you away from God's word through fear. Once you understand that you are delivered from fear, bondages will melt away, and you will be sure to receive every promise from the word of God. You know, fear is a devilish thing. Fear is a devilish thing. There is nothing good or nothing natural about it. The biggest deception in the body of Christ is that fear is natural. That is a natural thing, to shake and to feel fear and to be threatened and to feel fear. Just because many people allow fear to be a way of life doesn't mean that it's natural. If fear was natural, God would have given it to you. He gave you something far better. He gave you faith, not fear. He gave you a sound mind and a sound body. He didn't give you fear. Therefore, all natural things which originated from God is that God God is against things that are not natural. God's pro supernatural. When things become natural, they move away from the supernatural, and fear is in the category of the natural. You see, God doesn't want you to align your mind to the things which are the natural things, which are like fear. Fear works in an anti-Christ setting, in an anti-Christ anointed atmosphere. You know, fear literally works in an anti-Christ environment. It grows in an anti-Christ environment. Therefore, you cannot give in or succumb to the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 to 7 says, He gave you power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind that's free from fear. Your mind isn't sound when fear is in your thinking, within your thought patterns. That's not freedom. People fear when they've been exposed to the seed of fear from an outside source. When we're exposed to fear, we see it everywhere we look. Everywhere we speak to somebody, there's somebody that's fearful of something that's happening in the world today. Look at terror. Look at tyranny. Look at what's happening to our New Zealand police force at the moment. There's fear in the hearts of people. There's fear in a whole community in Napier simply because of some gunman that shot a police constable. Satan's got a grip on a community. There's fear in those hearts right now. So much so that some people are trapped in their houses in small rooms, like one particular family, afraid to move for the last 30 or 40 hours because they could be shot. That's fear, brother. Don't let the devil back you into a corner, church. You've got to start to adjust the mind, because the mind isn't sound when fear is in your thinking. People fear when they've been exposed to it from that outside source. You see, the devil works from the outside in. He's like a cancer that works from the outside until he gets inside and starts to work from the inside out. He's like a cancer on the body of Christ. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. When you tolerate fear, you are literally succumbing to the edicts and decrees of satanic territories. Your mind must be free from fear. Satan wants you to fear that the word of God doesn't have no power. When you fear sickness, you fear what Peter, in chapter 1, Peter 2, verse 24 says, by his stripes, by whose stripes ye are healed, doesn't work. You will fear that. You will question that. You will say, when you fear poverty, you will fear Philippians 4, verse 19, which says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Won't come to pass. You'll fear that. Because you don't believe in it, because you are literally, your thought patterns have confirmed within your spirit what you've already established in covenant with, that God's word isn't true. Therefore, it'll never come to pass in your life because you've confessed it. You've established the seed of the thought in your spirit has become firmly covenanted and established in the culture of your spirit realm. And therefore, what you believe in, you will fear the most. You will fear that God will not supply your needs because you just confess no faith in it. Do you know what? Fear is Satan's weapon of choice. Fear is literally terrorism. It's organized use of fear. You empower the enemy when you walk in fear. If you don't fear, Satan will have no access to your life. When you refuse to fear, you paralyze Satan and he can't harm you. When you don't fear, Satan has no exertion of power or influence over your life. Don't fear. When you start to turn the tables on fear and say, I have the faith to believe that while my circumstances may look different, I have the faith that they're going to change because that is my faith in action. Praise the Lord. I've got to take the word of God and say, I refuse to fear that this won't come true. I believe that faith will bring about what will come to pass because the word said it. I fear God, but in an unhealthy fear, I could fear God by saying that I don't believe God is truth. You will fear God simply because you fear the truth. What would you much rather have, the lie or the truth? Would you base your faith in the lie or in the truth? Because when you place your faith in the truth, then it is productive. There's productivity from faith when we believe and take the truth as being gospel, that's God's word. When you enter into unbelief, you deny God's word from actioning in your life. Do you know that fear is wicked? Anything that doesn't line up with the Bible is evil and wicked. Fearful and unbelieving will have their part in the lake of fire. That's what God says in Revelation 21 verse 8. So where there is anger and unbelief, there is fear. And usually you'll find a lot of angry Christians. There's been a lot of fear in their foundation, a lot of fear in their past lives. There's been fear in generational heritages. There's been fear because some uncle in the background or some grandfather or some distant relative in the background has had fear in his life because he was brought up with fear. You know, years ago, I remember my grandfather telling me how that he knew that his father had to be obeyed implicitly. He was an unsmiling man. I saw a photo of him once and he had a very stern look with a waxed moustache curled up on the side. He was to be feared. My grandfather said he never loved his father. He said he hated him. His father would have to go just like that, and he says he would run for miles. He was up at 5 milking cows, and if he didn't do it right, he got whipped with the belt. Whipped like an animal. He said he loved his mother because his mother prayed for him. I remember him telling me, sat me on his knee and told me, as he showed me the photos of his mother, he says, that's my mother. He says, I loved my mother. And when it came to his father, he didn't have a word to say. He says, that's my dad. That's my father there. He said, I love my mother. My father was cruel to my mother. He wouldn't permit her to have an operation because she died of cancer. And they literally in those days, because they didn't have the ability to be able to bring treatment to try and stem the tide of cancer, I remember that they took part of the stomach out and put concrete in. Yeah. And he says, I looked at my mother's face, and my mother's face was in contortion and pain, but my father never grimaced once. I don't understand that. I remember him telling me that when his father passed away, he was in the Cathedral Square, and it was in the middle of the war year, and somebody said, oh, there goes a fighter pilot. He looked up, and he saw a plane, and he fell down of a heart attack. Dead. My grandfather said he received word by telegraph, no phones in those days. And so he hopped on his bike. He went into town from Brighton, South New Brighton, biked into town, identified his father's body, and then returned back to work without as much as shedding a tear. That's fear. That's fear. You see what fear can do? It can make you immune to anything that's true if you allow it to fester and grow in your life. Praise the Lord, my grandfather became a Christian. Praise the Lord, he became a Christian. I tell you, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my grandfather. I would not be here today. I'll tell you a little story I haven't told anybody, and I think I'll feel quite at liberty to tell you. You know what, I always have said that I regret the one thing. My grandfather passed away in 1982, and he said to my father, and I was unfortunately, I didn't get to see my grandfather before he passed away, but he had said to my father, he called my father into his room, and he said to my father, because I said to my grandfather beforehand, I says, Grandpa, all this Christianity stuff's just a load of rubbish. Just a load of rubbish, it's not true. Fantasy. And he said to my father, he says, see, I want you to tell Peter one thing. And he says, tell Peter that it's not a load of rubbish. And then he says, one day, he says, Peter will be a powerful minister of the gospel. Now, I could never understand that in terms of the fact is, how did my grandfather know that I would be ministering today? And my one dream, my one unrealized ambition is to have my grandfather sitting in front of me today as I'm ministering. That would be my dream come true. Wouldn't it be your dream to have your mother, your father, and, you know, seeing your minister? And that's my only one regret. And I prayed to the Lord when I come back to the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, I don't understand what my grandfather said. How did he know? Because I says, I really would love to have my grandfather before me as I'm ministering the gospel. And he says, he already has. I says, how's that possible? He says, because he says, before he died, he says, I gave him a vision of what you are doing right now. That's why he said what he said. He saw me ministering. And that has made me feel so much more better. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I don't have any fear. I'm just so very happy that I have had praying parents and praying grandparents behind me that refuse to give in to the power of the influence of fear over their lives. That defeated fear, that overcame fear, that overcome fear. Amen? Hallelujah. Where there's anger and unbelief, there is fear. Fear denies God having access to your life, and he can't move upon the lives of people if you fear him. Amen? Jesus, as we bring this round to a close now, when you believe the word, you step out of fear. When you step out of fear, bondage will melt away. You must trust God and trust his kingdom provision, because when you learn how God works his system of operation and faith, then fear will never ever reduce you to someone who begs for something from God. Have you ever wanted something from God so much that you're literally calling out on God? You're literally begging him? You shouldn't have to beg from your king. He never made you beggars. Hallelujah. I think sometimes many Christians beg because they're afraid literally to believe in God, in God's word. You've got to get fear and work sin out of your life so that the kingdom of God system can be worked into your life and produce your harvest. You've got to work the kingdom of God system in you so you can produce the harvest and see it outwardly displayed. Hallelujah. Fear will try to trick you. It immediately tries to separate you from the word so that you will lack the confidence in its ability to work for you. You've got to have confidence in the word. It's no good saying, well, God, I hope your word works. You said ask and you shall receive. And I know you don't lie, God, but for 20 years I've been asking and I ain't receiving nothing. Where's your confidence? Where's your confidence? You're not seeing a thing. You're not seeing one red cent. You're not even seeing one greenback dollar. Simply because you don't have the confidence in the word of God. You've got to have confidence that matches the level of your faith. When your faith is matched to the height of your profession, then you're going to see the harvest. When you've got confidence in the word, it comes through with the way you boldly state the word. I believe that when I ask, I'm going to receive what it is that I ask for. Amen. And there's no compromise. God didn't build a gospel on the foundation of compromise. There's no excuses. There's no justification for not having confidence in the word. You've got to have confidence that the word works. If you don't have confidence that the word works, then you'll be waiting an extra 20 years for the word to work, because it won't work if you don't have confidence in what God said. Trust and confidence go hand in hand. And you've got to trust God, but in trusting God, you've got to have the confidence in God to believe that when you trust in Him, whatever He said is going to come true and going to come to pass. No good saying, well, I hope it works. I believe that if I repeat the word, then some like magical hocus-pocus formula and the magical ways of believing that God's word is like a magical formula. It's like these people who treat the word of God like a numerical lotto system. They, you know, they take a verse in a chapter and then they throw it into the numerical little wee rolling ball and it comes out with another chapter and verse and they point it, you know, like opening the page and yeah, $21.70, I'll put that in this week, I'm bound to get $210 out of it. You know, that's a false understanding. Where's your fear? Your fear is based not in the truth, your fear is based in money. You're believing God for something. You see, He said, ask and you shall receive. Trust. Trust in Him. Have the confidence and believe in trust. Believe in confidence. And you'll see the word produce the result. Amen? Amen. Did you know that your reborn spirit cannot produce fear? You cannot produce fear if you're reborn in the Spirit. So you've got to renew the spirit of your mind daily by the word of God. Don't give in to fear. God doesn't produce fear. Satan produces fear. Fear produces doubt. But you must believe what you hear God say. Sometimes we take the word, but we don't listen to the revelation that God says by the way of His Spirit. We don't hear the revelatory art of the Holy Ghost anymore. We just literally take the word and we run with it and we say, God, your word says, now do it. That's daring. You know, Satan will always use fear to imprint an image on your imagination, because once you imagine something, it will come to pass quickly. If you believe that you have no money, that's what you're going to have. If you believe you've got, your circumstances won't change, that's the image that's been imprinted on your imagination, and that is what will come to pass quickly. If you try to superimpose that image or that imagination, that imprint on your thought life with something that is from the Word of God, then that is literally forced to change. It has to change. It's the key to change. It's using God's Word to imprint His images on your mind, and you will change. You will have no need to fear, because you'll only be thinking God thoughts. Wonderful God thoughts. So keep your eyes on the Word to avoid short bursts of faith. You know, sometimes you'll find Christians getting so hyperactive. They're so faith people, you know. Oh, I've got the faith to believe for miracles. I've got the faith to believe for a harvest. And then next Sunday they say, oh, I don't have a faith to believe for anything. I didn't get nothing this week. You know, and they have short bursts of faith, you know. Come on, you got to keep your faith constant and true. You got to keep it alive. You can't go and vacillate from one level of faith. You're high one week, and then you're like a pendulum. You're down the following week, and then next week, you know, you can bring confusion into the body of Christ when you're up and down like a yo-yo. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're fearful one week, you're faithful the next, and then you're faithful the next, and then you're fearful the next. It's like, what kind of person are you? Are you a God person or are you a fearful person? Are you the devil's servant or are you God's? Hallelujah. Are we the Lord's servants? Well, if we're the Lord's servants, then we've got to start to reflect the Lord's wealth. Amen. Do you look wealthy? Don't look at yourself now. Do you look wealthy? Are you spiritually wealthy? Then you are possessing faith and you don't have the spirit of fear. You see, you reflect your state of wealth simply from the outside. Externally, you've got to look wealthy. That doesn't mean you go out and waste your money and buy fineries and new clothes and jewelries and what have you. It's just that you've got to look a little bit like Jesus. You are made in his likeness. You're being transformed into his image. Hallelujah. Therefore, faith has no place in your life, does it? So this week, don't fear. Produce faith in your life and see that you keep your eyes on the Word and on the precious promises of God, because God doesn't like Christians who give second thoughts to fear. We've got to have complete and absolute trust and believe that the Word of God will produce the harvest in our lives. And God's people said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Give him a mighty hand clap of praise.